breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0 Los Angeles.
This is Face Off, the hockey show with Mike Miller. Live from the loft at Tam O'Shanter on Toledo's sports leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Now to Zuboff. A wrist shot. Brodeur, the save. Oh, an acrobatic save by Brodeur.
Face Off, the hockey show features the Red Wings, Walleye, Falcons, and high school hockey each week on the longest running specialty sports talk show in the area.
10 seconds of the game. The Devils are storming around the net, and they score! Peter Sikora, 18 seconds in.
Face Off, the hockey show is brought to you by
Tam O'Shanter, the place for hockey in Northwest Ohio.
It's still loose. Rebound, they score! Claude Lemieux on the backhand!
Now, let's go live to the lock at Tam O'Shanter. Here's 106.5 The Ticket's Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. How are you? Live from the Loft Restaurant, Sylvania, Tam O'Shanter. Jam-packed Loft Restaurant, by the way. Glad to have you on board. USA Hockey below us. Learn to Play Hockey programs. Another jam-packed night down there under the watchful eye of Mike Mankowski. Again, glad to have you on board, everybody. Doubleheader here tonight. We did drive time from 5 to 6 and a live report from the Q in Cleveland where the Cavaliers take on the Atlanta Hawks tonight. Dave Briggs joined us. He's also covering the Tigers and the Cleveland Indians. So he's a guy that's in Cleveland, been there for 4 days, by the way, covering four different teams. Thank him for coming on. Matt Markey joined us at 5:30 and at 6:30 tonight here on Face Off, the hockey show. Mike Jones will join us, a guy that spent a lot of time in this rink. He is stepping down as the head coach of Sylvania Northview. Of course, Sylvania Northview winning 2 state championships. Sylvania Northview also 2 state runner-ups. Local guy that played here as a youngster, went on to play at Bowling Green, played in the ECHL, came back home, raised a family, won a couple of state championships. Mike Jones stepping down, head coach, Sylvania Northview. He'll join us at 6:30 tonight. You know, for many years, we had Jim Neal on, now the general manager of the Dallas Stars. Always candid with us, and always a guy that was accessible. I'll say the same about Ryan Martin. He is the assistant general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, Ken Holland, taking the time tonight to join us as well. Again, hello, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing real well, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking the time. Appreciate our chats and had a chance to watch Ken and his address to the media as well, talking about the Red Wings, not only last year's team, a club that went out 4-1 to the Tampa Bay Lightning, but an organization that is, you know, moving forward in a little bit different era here, the salary cap. You know, I thought Ken said it best. And then, listen, I'm not coming on here, to patronize anybody. It's been a great run, 25 years straight in the playoffs. Things are different. He even brought up my old team, the New Jersey Devils, that got in a bit of a dynasty before the salary cap when things were a little bit easier to do. But I wanted to pick your brain a little bit. Moving forward, what do you have in mind? Draft coming up, trade deadlines, all sorts of things. Obviously, everybody thrilled with the 25 years, but there's a segment of the fans out there, hey, 25 years is great. How do we progress this organization? Tell me a little bit about that. What you got? Listen, I know you can't show your cards here, but in general, what's the organization thinking?
Well, you said it. You said it best, first, Mike. The 25 years is a great accomplishment, but we're as disappointed as anyone that we weren't able to have greater success in the playoffs. And I think, when Canada's closing press conference talked about expectations and Stanley Cups, our goal certainly is to compete for the Stanley Cup every year. You know, to me, the term expectation is something that is almost a certainty. And, you know, maybe the days of the teams of the late 90s where they were real powerhouses and the expectation of a Stanley Cup may have been different back then with a lack of parity of the pre-salary cap era. But certainly our objective is to compete for a Stanley Cup. And I think we've got some really good young pieces in players like Riley Sheahan and Thomas Tatar and Gustav Nyquist. And Peter Mrazek had a had a great year that he was able to build on his success of last year, and Danny DeKaiser, and we've got some young players coming up from the minors, like Andreas Athanasiou, and Anthony Mantha is going to press for time. So we certainly, the scouts have done a really good job at the draft table. We've got some young prospects coming through the system, but, you know, we need to make some tweaks to the lineup, and, you know, we're in the process of now of evaluating the players. You know, Ken has finished up his exit meetings with most of the players, and Jeff Blaschel and Ken and myself and Chris Draper have been around the office quite a bit the last week or week and a half, and begun going through the process of evaluating the players and seeing where we need to make additions or subtractions. And we're going to get together with our pro scouts here in about another 3 or 4 weeks. But between now and that time, we'll certainly have a lot of discussions about what we need to do to make ourselves more competitive and put ourselves in a better position to go on a bit of a playoff run.
Again, Ryan Martin joins us. He is the assistant general manager of the Detroit Red Wings. This is Face Off, the Hockey Show, year number 16, by the way. I'm guessing you'll be in Cleveland tomorrow night. And listen, talking about young players, was looking up and down the roster. Certainly a guy, too, Robbie Rousseau's a guy that certainly might fit into that mix moving forward. Tell me a little bit about him.
Yeah, Robbie's had a tremendous year. You know, he was originally a draft pick of the New York Islanders, and as a college hockey player that completed 4 years of college, he had the option to become a free agent by electing not to sign with the Islanders, and became a free agent in August of last summer. And a number of teams pursued him. We were fortunate enough to sign him last August when he became free. And he's a guy that you know, I've seen play quite a bit. He was a candidate for the U.S. World Junior team when he was eligible for that, and I was on the staff of that team. And having Riley Shane down at Notre Dame, they played a couple years together, so we saw him quite a bit there. And obviously Notre Dame being close proximity to Detroit, our area scouts saw him. And so we had certain expectations for Robbie. He's surpassed those. He's had a terrific first year. You know, I think he, unlike someone like Xavier Ouellette or Ryan Sproul that starts their pro career as a 20-year-old, he was still in college at that time, but they're all the same age. And so we consider all three of those players and Nick Jensen, you know, good young defensemen in our organization. So we're really excited about Robbie and what the prospect holds for him in the future.
You're talking to Ryan Martin. I got to tell you, from a jam, you got a pretty big audience here, Ryan, by the way, from a jam-packed Loft restaurant high above rink number one here in May. And this place has people hanging from the rafters watching their youngsters go through the paces down here. Again, glad to have you on board. Tell me a little bit about you know, Anderson, we read today, is going back to Sweden, and Datsyuk, of course, book's still out, world championships, and after that he's going to make a decision. So you're still trying to move forward, but you're still, I guess, unsure of exactly, when you look at unrestricted free agents as well. You know, Jimmy Howard's another guy that has been talked about with Mrazek, as you mentioned. How hard is it for a management group here to start? I know you're still evaluating, you know, guys you've drafted and guys that are playing in this second-round series against Lake Erie. But the uncertainty of what you have to do with certain people, you know, take us inside the closed doors of the Joe Louis Arena, which will certainly soon be the Little Caesars Arena, by the way. Tell me a little bit about that, dealing with not knowing what certain players are thinking, what their agents want to do. Hey, that's right up your alley in this business. Going about it on a day-to-day basis, penciling in things and moving forward.
Well, Mike, it's an ongoing process. It's daily, from the first day of training camp all the way through the end of the season and on into the summer. And certainly we have information now at our disposal based on year-end meetings that we would have with certain players like Joakim Andersson, you point out, and certainly Pavel Datsyuk. And we're in constant communication with various agents to find out what, you know, players that we have the rights to right now, what our expectation and objective is with those players, and get their feeling on whether they'd like to come back. You know, Darren Helm is another unrestricted. Kyle Quincy is another unrestricted. So you know, with the restricted free agents, it's a little bit different. Their rights are much more limited, and so we have one approach with those types of players. But we're certainly always gathering information. You know, our pro scouts have met periodically with us as a staff throughout the year, so they know what we're looking to do, and that's constantly changing. And so, you know, as we head into the meetings another 3 or 4 weeks from now, our scouts are submitting lists on area players that they've been monitoring all the way back to the start of the season. We've got a better idea now at the end of the regular season and into the playoffs in the American League of a player that might press for some time next year or might warrant making the team or have a spot on the team. And so those discussions are constantly ongoing. We're soliciting the feedback from Todd Nelson and his staff in Grand Rapids. We're soliciting feedback from Jeff Blaschel and his staff to see what needs the coaching staff would want. And so it's really it's a collegial effort. It's a group effort, and it's one of those things that's really an ongoing process.
You know what, Ryan? I pride myself, and I guess this is maybe a little bit why I've stuck around for almost 40 years in this business, is of doing my homework and, you know, working at this business. Where do you guys pick? I should know that.
We're picking 16th this year.
Well, I got to tell you, that might be a little high, because I've seen a lot of OHL hockey in the last 9 years, and I absolutely, for whatever this takes from a guy that's broadcast a couple of thousand games, I love Mikhail Sergachev in Windsor. I got a feeling he's going to help somebody very, very quickly for a puck-moving defenseman. That being said, this is called a radio segue. That's one thing that's talked about when people evaluate the Red Wings. I get it. Brian Rafalski, who I saw in New Jersey, that nobody seemed to want out of the University of Wisconsin because of his size, that went to New Jersey, won a cup, went under the Red Wings, had a great run with you guys as well. And Nick Lidstrom, of course, wow, what can you say? One of the all-time greats. People have said we need another defenseman in Detroit that can move the puck, run the power play. Obviously, that's a need for the Red Wings.
Yeah, puck possession is one of the characteristics that we value in evaluating defensemen, the ability to make a first pass. You know, I think, Mike, over the last 5 to 7 years, that the league's getting bigger. You know, you see more and more teams are stockpiling larger defensemen that all can move and move the puck to some degree. So I think we're trying to constantly balance a concerted effort to add some size in our back end. And, you know, Dan Renouf is a young defenseman we just signed as a free agent out of the University of Maine about a month ago, and he's played some games in Grand Rapids this spring, and he'll commence his pro career full-time next fall. So we're trying to – he's a 6'2", 215-pound defenseman that plays with a bit of an edge. So we're trying to balance – you know, Sergachev, the player you named, certainly kind of has both those skills. He's a bigger guy, and he certainly is a good puck mover. So, you know, those are some of the characteristics that we look for in D, and certainly you can never have too many good defensemen.
Ryan, let's talk in general here a little bit, some of the news this week. And believe me, Bruce Boudreau and Bob Hartley, two guys that I've interviewed over the years back in the day, and know one quite well. It's kind of tough in this business. We have Jeff Blaschel on this show at least, you know, once every couple of months during the season. I've always taken my time to make sure I wasn't giving him a call or a text when, you know, he was busy either traveling or getting his club ready, the Red Wings. But tell me about that. It really is a you better produce. It's an achievement type business when guys like that have, you know, Bob Hartley was the coach of the year a couple of years ago. Just talking in generalities here, coaches at the National Hockey League level, boy, under a lot of pressure to produce.
Yeah, that's accurate. And yeah, and you're right, Bob I think was coach of the year last year, so less than 12 months later, now he's out of work. But it's certainly a results-oriented business. You know, I think most of, if not all, the people that get into this business and are fortunate and successful enough to have an opportunity to reach the NHL, whether they're in coaching or management or trainers or even players, I think a lot of the people are wired the same way, and it's an understanding and an expectation when you get into this business that you are going to be judged on wins and losses, and sometimes it might not be fair, and it's not necessarily reflective of the job that a particular individual person does, but at the end of the day, ownership groups and management groups make decisions oftentimes based on that. And Bruce Boudreau, I think before he landed the Anaheim job, was out of work for, you know, all of a day or two. So obviously a good coach that's got a really good track record, and sometimes it's just not the right fit with the right organization, but that's the nature of this business.
Ryan, before I let you go, and I had to decipher my own writing here for a moment, but I wrote down world championships, and I see Luke Glendening went down. Tell me about the world championships from a management standpoint. I mean, listen, I know if I was sitting around and I had players that, you know, are a piece of my roster and a piece of my organization, a piece of my group that's going over participating in a tournament. It's a good tournament. It's not an elite tournament. Tell me a little bit about that. Listen, I was hit on the other portion of my show, my ESPN show, where we talk all sports. We started talking about baseball. You know, and players playing in international tournaments. And I had a National League general manager on here. They cringe at times when some – I get you want to represent your country. There's nothing better than that. But I got to tell you at times, too, I would be sitting back holding my breath when some players that are a big piece of my organization are competing in international tournaments and run a risk of injury.
Yeah, that's certainly it's a concern. It's something that we want to balance with player development, and I use the term player development. You know, Alexei Marchenko is playing in the World Championships, and Dylan Larkin is playing, and Timu Polkin, and they're all representing their country. Those are younger players where, you know, Ken and myself and the management group, Jeff Blashill, I'm sure, would agree with this. Whenever players who are of that age and still developing have the opportunity to play in those pressure situations, single game elimination type tournaments, I think it's great for their development to put them, and the tournament is not as well recognized in North America as it is in Europe, but this is a big deal in Europe, and I think you correctly characterize it as a good tournament, not a great one, but it's certainly good and very well respected and very important to European nations, and they take it very seriously, and I think that helps elevate the intensity and the importance of these games, and it's great for young players to be able to compete in those environments. Now, someone like Pavel Datsyuk, who's a bit older, playing in these, it's more about representing his country, but certainly the chance to continue to play at the end of the year when your team has been eliminated or has not made the playoffs, I think it's a great opportunity for players to continue to develop as professionals. So, you know, Stuart Luke actually got sent home because his injury hadn't healed properly, so he's not playing. But those other players that are playing, we think it's great, and we support it 100%.
Good stuff. And listen, I didn't want to, you know, diminish or downgrade the tournament, but maybe not as well, I don't know what to say, covered, or certainly it's being played at the time of the year, too, where the Stanley Cup playoffs are going on. I get a little bit about that. Hey, before I let you go, Ryan, any thoughts? We had Derek Lalonde on last week, had a great chat with him, and, of course, they went down to a Reading club that got a lot of help late from the American Hockey League, Lehigh Valley. We understand that. But another great job here in Toledo by Derek, and a lot of entertaining hockey. I didn't see many games because of my travels, but I was able to catch a few of them a couple of times a week on television. Worked hard. Seemed like they had a tremendous room, great organization. Any thoughts on the Walleye? I know you spend a lot of time down here as well.
Yeah, Toledo had a great year. I think they've earned the most points of any team in the league the last 2 years combined. And once again, Derek and his staff did a terrific job of developing a number of players that we utilized in Grand Rapids. You know, one of them, Joel Chouinard, who started out on an ECHL contract, we ended up signing to an American League deal throughout the year. So A.J. Jenks came up and played games. Obviously, Alden Hirschfeld came up at the beginning of the year before he went down with his injury. So Jake Patterson came up. So there's a number of players that came up and provided support to us in Grand Rapids, which is really what the purpose is and our intent of the affiliation. And Derek and Dan Watson did a great job. It's unfortunate that the matchup that they had with Reading really was not, it wasn't a 1-8, or 1-4 matchup in the league because of what, as you point out, they've got so many players down from the American League at the end of the year. So a tough draw for Toledo, a tough way to go out, but still a lot to be proud of in terms of the success that they had, this year.
Grand Rapids Griffins, everybody, for you Toledo fans that are tuned into to face off the Hockey Show. Make your way over to Cleveland tomorrow night. The Griffins take on Lake Erie American League hockey action, round number 2. I'm sure Ryan's on his way over there tomorrow as well. Hey, thanks for coming on, Ryan. Good luck in this this reboot for the Red Wings. And believe me, I think you guys have done a tremendous job there. But it's tough. We've talked about it. We've aired Kenny's interview here on this show. Times are different. Executives like yourself got to think out of the box, which you guys do. Toledo was good. Grand Rapids still playing. Red Wing country down here in Northwest Ohio. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, Mike.
All right, Ryan. Ryan Martin, assistant general manager for the Detroit Red Wings here on Face Off the Hockey Show. Little sports, little weather, little traffic coming up after this. My name's Mike Miller. This is Face Off the Hockey Show.
With Mike Miller on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Face Off the Hockey Show. 16 years. We started here tonight, Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. You're tuned to ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, home of the Tigers on the AM side, the Lions, the Wolverines, the Buckeyes, much more. Coming to you from the Loft Restaurant tonight, special thanks, of course, to our guest. Dave Briggs joined us from the Q in Cleveland where the Cavaliers take on the Atlanta Hawks tonight. Dave doing double duty. The nights he's not working the NBA over there for the Toledo Blade. He's covering the Tigers and the Cleveland Indians, and I can tell you right now, the Tribe and the Tigers, no score. That is the first inning over at Progressive Field. I wonder how many people are watching that one. Everybody downtown in Cleveland tonight, I'm sure, rooting for the Cavaliers. Matt Markey joined us at 5:30 tonight. Then the assistant general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, Ryan Martin, joined us just a couple of moments ago. Well, a gentleman that we've had a chance to talk to over the years and spent a lot of time in this rink. And I look over there to my radio right, and I see two banners hanging up there, Sylvania Northview Hockey, state champions in 2012 and 2014. Their head coach, Mike Jones, who played here in high school, went on to play at Bowling Green, played in the ECHL, and spent 8 years as the head coach of the Northview Wildcats hockey team. Stepping down, I learned that when I walked into the rink today, and I said, somebody get me his phone number. I got to talk to him. Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. How are you?
Hey, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it, and congratulations on a great run. I see you here at Tam of Shanter a lot, walking around with your young roster of Joneses there. So I think I have an idea why you stepped away. More family time, I'm sure.
Sure, Mike. And it's a matter of fact, I just dumped him in the bathtub, and Mom's up there giving a scrub after we got done with our knee hockey game. So, hey, dads everywhere have been there, and it's time to spend a little less time at the rink and a little more time here and in some of their activities. And just blessed with the opportunity I had, Mike, to work with the people over at that high school and in that school district and ultimately, the staff and the kids. It was a blast.
You know what, Mike, you kind of, led to my next question here. And listen, you know me, I graduated with Jim Cooper. We're the same age, and I still look back at my baseball coach. We had a great run at Whitmer in the years that I played baseball there. Some very, very good teams, some of the best teams in the state. I look back at my head coach, Dave Ault, that I played for again at Whitmer, and this is many years ago. But what I'm trying to get to here is I know what a impact he had in my life about competing fairly, but competing hard, doing things. You hear this term a lot in sports now, playing the right way. Boy, I got to tell you, over 8 years, you had a lot of different kids in that roster, and I'm sure you realize this. But without a doubt, you made an impact in their lives, I'm sure, in many, many different facets.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Mike, and the outpouring of emails and texts and however these young people communicate nowadays has been absolutely humbling, and it makes you reflect a little bit on the relationships you've built. But, you know, my hat goes off to those kids. I still call them kids as I'm turning 40 next month, but they bought in. And when they bought in, they did wonderful things. And as I said at our banquet the other day, Mike, Sylvania Northview is not going to out-talent anybody, you know, moving forward. With the St. Ignatius and Eds and St. John's and St. Francis of the world, we're going to have to play disciplined hockey. We're going to have to be disciplined student athletes, and we're going to have to outwork some people. And, you know, I think we did a lot of that. But I also think that the talent that we did have, you know, bought into the system, rose to the top, and absolutely performed for us.
Hey, tell me a little bit about – I've asked you this before, but it's been astounding to me you know, really over the years to watch the emergence of high school hockey in this area. I mean, I remember it back when, for crying out loud, that you'd have a roster of kids of 14 or 15 people, if you could even get that, and only five or six of those kids probably could skate a lick. It has changed. I just watched the Learn to Play program leave the ice here tonight, a huge program that's, of course, anchored by Mike Mankowski and Nick Perillo and everybody involved here at Tama. The evolution and the way things have evolved with the American young players here in this area, it's been remarkable. And you've been a part of it. A lot of people have been a part of it. You know, everybody should be proud of that, because I've witnessed this now for about 30 years.
Yeah, and just watch the playoffs. You know, it's U.S. college guy after U.S. college guy. And again, of course, they're not all American-born, but a lot of excellent hockey being played in this country and here locally. It's amazing. You spoke about the learn-to-play numbers, and the learn-to-play numbers are great, and all of that is growing. The only issue is, so is the cost, and the cost of ice and the cost of this equipment makes my stomach churn a little bit. So I think you're seeing some talent move to the high school ranks and still playing at a high level of hockey, competitive hockey, getting some of the pre-post opportunities that they are, and still having a good quality product here at Tam O'Shanter, here in Northwest Ohio, and in the state in general.
You know, you talk about the American-born players, Mike. You kind of came from an era here where it wasn't as common as it is now. And, it's growing by leaps and bounds. But I look at the Alden Hirschfelds. I look at yourself. You know, I look at even another frequent guest of this show going way back. You know, Brian Smolinski, who joins us a lot to break down the NHL playoffs. I mean, it's a lot different now than it was 15 years ago. A good American players who can play professionally like yourself, few and far between. I don't know few and far between, but it was a lot less common, I'll put it that way, than what you see now.
Yeah, it was a lot less common, Mike. And I got a funny story. The NHLPA was in the locker room when I was in Detroit my rookie year, Detroit Vipers, that is. And they passed out an election form to see if you wanted to partake in their 401k. And I had learned, hey, you're supposed to put money away. It'll grow while you're sleeping, yada, yada, yada. Well, they hand us this fancy sheet with a bunch of mutual funds on it, and I have no idea what any of these things mean. I don't know what these sector classes are, per se. So I look to the guy to my left, 19-year-old Russian, doesn't speak a lick English. Look to the guy to my right, and he's freshly been to the United States via Czechoslovakia, and I'm laughing. I'm saying, I don't even have anybody to even have an English conversation with in this room. So you're right. You're right. It's and we need an influx of talent here, because we're putting a lot of resources, time, and energy into this game. And it's nice to see that hard work pay off.
You know, tell me about your state championship teams a little bit. And I don't want to dismiss the other six teams. You had two runners-up, you know, as well. What stood out about the 2012 team? Anything off the top of your head?
You could tell in the summer of 2011 that this team was going to be pretty serious. Just the way they went about their work, the way they were, you know, treating the other people around them, the way that they conducted themselves in public, and just that bond. You could tell that was something special. And I was thinking all summer, how in the world do I just get through this without screwing it up? Because, again, I had a pretty good feeling that they would be, one of the teams there at the end. And it was just that. It was their togetherness. It was their unselfishness. And Mike, it's in this generation, it's tough to ask 20 young people to buy into your vision. And they did. And it was a tight-knit group and a neat group to work with. And then 2014 was kind of a group of misfits there for a while who were trying to find their own identity. They had just come off of 2013 when they lost in the state final. And I think that was sour a little bit. But I also thought you know, for the first half of that season, they thought, we're Sylvania Northview. If we just show up, everybody's going to lay their sticks down and we'll get out of here without too much work. And we found out in a hurry that people don't care what you did in the past. And, if you've been, you know, on that mountaintop, they're ready to kick you off it. So it took us a while to adjust to that year. And that's the year we went and played Ignatius and played 10 periods of hockey, including 7 overtimes. And,
most talked about game, I mean, really, maybe in the history, without a doubt, the most talked about game maybe in the history of high school hockey anywhere in North America. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, I feel like when I'm old and gray and have nothing to do, I could write a movie about that that day, because it was fascinating. And you're right. By the time I got out of the tunnel and there at Nationwide and under the bus, I mean, SportsCenter had left a message, the Jim Rome Show, Dan Patrick, and I'm like, wow, this is taking off pretty quick.
Tell me about that. Listen, it's been talked about a lot, and the safety of the players. And I didn't bring you on here, Jonesy, to rehash, you know, a bunch of things that happened, you know, a number of years back. But it was just huge. I mean, I don't know where I was. I think I was in Ottawa that night, and I started getting text about it. So I'm not Jim Rohn and I'm not ESPN, but I'm in Ottawa doing a major junior game on CKLW, and I'm getting text about this game. Tell me about that. I mean, the discussion, and listen, don't labor a lot of time on it, but, you know, just the thought process one more time. It's been written about. It's been talked about. It's been hashed over 7 overtimes. That banner is up there to our right. What did you take out of it?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, don't cut yourself short. You've done some amazing things in this game yourself that Jim Rome probably will never do. So we'll start there, and then you know, it was a 5-minute ordeal in a tunnel that I could never find in Nationwide Arena again. That felt like it took 10 seconds. As I reflect on it, it feels like it took 10 days. But long and short was I was called into a meeting in the bowels of this place with obviously a plethora of different figureheads, if you will, and well-respected people throughout the game and the OHSAA. And Pat O'Rourke and I were kind of leading a lot of the conversations, and we had shook hands to agree to play 2 more overtimes because they were only cutting the ice after every 2. So we'd play through 1 more, and if we were tied, we'd walk out of here and shake hands and be co-state champions, and if not, someone was going to win it. Well, that quickly turned into some probably more wise and senior people than myself that said, you know what, guys, I can appreciate that, but we're seeing some kids that look real exhausted, having trouble getting on and off the ice. And at that point, Mike, I was playing 2 lines, and I wanted so badly to put a 3rd or 4th liner out there, but I didn't want to see this thing slip away.
Right,
but they were fresh.
Right,
Yeah, battling. But the long and short was player safety came and rose to the top in that situation. And you know what? That's okay. As I told the guys at the time, this story is going to be something you're going to talk about the rest of your life. I understand you want to win or lose this hockey game on that sheet. I get it. But right now, fellas, that's not the way it's going down, and we'll learn to appreciate this some other day.
Jonesy, great run. As always, thanks for taking the time. We'll see you down the road, I'm sure, here at Sylvania Tamish Center. You got a couple of young Joneses coming up on the roster. I've seen you out here before. But thanks for your contribution. Thanks for a great run, and thanks for coming on.
And, Mike, thanks for what you do for our sport. Appreciate it. Have a great night.
Good stuff. Mike Jones, Northview coach, 2 state championships, of course, and a couple of runner-ups in that 2014 state championship game. 7 overtimes. Unbelievable. And that game will be talked about for a long, long time. My name is Mike Miller. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We've been doing Face Off the Hockey Show for 16 years. Glad to have you on board. Just talked to the assistant general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, Ryan Martin. Back to close it out after these words. This is Face Off, the Hockey Show.
Face Off, the Hockey Show with Mike Miller from the loft at Tam O'Shanter on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. My name is Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board. Basketball tonight on the ticket. Ben, what time's the pregame show for the basketball game?
That game starts pregame at 7 o'clock right here on the ticket.
7 o'clock on the pregame show. Ben, what do you got? Updating the Tigers-Indians. I'm looking around at the TVs here.
Yeah, it's a 0-0 top of the third with 2 outs right now.
Good. Good stuff. Ben Lahowski, engineer for both Drive Time and Face Off, the Hockey Show. By the way, just a special thanks to all our guests tonight. Dave Briggs joined us from the Q in Cleveland, where the Cavaliers and the Hawks go at it again, as Ben just mentioned. You can hear it right here on the ticket. Matt Markey, 5:30, joined us tonight as well. Ryan Martin, the assistant general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, joined us at 6:05 tonight. And Mike Jones, head coach of Sylvania Northview, who won two state championships for this area, stepping down as the head coach of Sylvania Northview. National Hockey League tonight. Washington is at Pittsburgh. Penguins lead that series 2-1. Tomorrow night, Dallas at St. Louis. Blues lead that series 2-1. San Jose at Nashville tomorrow. Sharks lead the series 2-1. Tried to get Bob Bugner on, the assistant coach of the San Jose Sharks, who, by the way, signs my paycheck for my broadcast up in Canada. He's one of the co-owners of the Windsor Spitfires in the OHL. He's got the Sharks rolling. Bob texted me back not long ago. Has a team dinner and then a little bit of a film session with the coaching staff. Wasn't able to make it tonight. But San Jose, again, Nashville. Tomorrow night, Nashville Sharks lead the series 2-1. Friday night, Tampa Bay taking on the New York Islanders, and the Lightning lead that series 2-1. Back at the Superstore tomorrow, back at the Superstore on Friday. I know tomorrow, I'm not quite sure what we're going to do tomorrow night. I got to get somebody on maybe to talk a little bit more about the Tigers and break this down, the Indians as well. The Indians tonight and the Tigers are scoreless. They are in the third inning over there. Dave Briggs, special thanks to him. Next time I get Dave on, I want to talk a little bit about Ohio State and 12 players, of course, being drafted in the National Football League. A quick reminder, too, as this Learn to Play Hockey program here at Sylvania Tamashanner, just outstanding. It's been packed almost every time that we've been out here. Hats off to Mike Mankowski, to Tom Klein, and everybody else. And you heard Ryan Martin there, the assistant general manager of the Red Wings, talking about the American influx of players in the NHL because of USA Hockey. You heard also Mike Jones, a professional that played here in this rink, grew up in this rink, going on to play professional hockey. The influence of programs like Learn to Play Hockey absolutely has been a huge, huge factor as well. You know, handicapping those series a little bit, Washington and Pittsburgh, I think eventually the National Hockey League is going to have to reseed a little bit. Of course, Washington trailing on that series 2-1. You have the two premier players in the National Hockey League, Ovechkin, of course, for the Capitals, and Crosby for the Penguins. Boy, you got to maybe reseed after each round for those brackets. Wouldn't you want those guys in the conference finals as well? Dallas and St. Louis. You know, Kenny Holland's been under a little bit of heat here for, you know, it's great that we've made the playoffs for 25 consecutive years, but what have you done for me lately? Well, you know what? The guy that eventually you thought might get the Detroit Red Wings general manager's job, Jim Neal, got his club into the second round. They're playing St. Louis. The Blues lead the series 2-1. They go at it tomorrow in St. Louis. San Jose, Nashville, again, Sharks lead 2-1. Sharks, to me, the real feel-good story in the National Hockey League. You don't, you know what, you don't get the media coverage, number one, in hockey like I think you should. But number two, because they play in the West Coast, you know, 3 hours time difference away, this is an emerging story with the likes of Joe Thornton. You know, you read of the Ovechkins, you read the Crosbys. I don't quite put Thornton in that same class, but he's not as far behind as a lot of people want to think, mainly because he plays out west. So the Sharks are an emerging story. Again, they're taking on Nashville. That game is tomorrow night. I mean, the things that stood out to me about our conversation tonight with Ryan Martin, 4-1 loss first round by the Tampa Bay Lightning, is there is talent in Grand Rapids. They start their series against the Lake Erie Monsters, of course, who are, you know, basically based out of the Q. That's where the Cleveland Cavaliers play as well. They play game one of their second round series tomorrow. Grand Rapids winning their first round series against Milwaukee. So a lot of young players on that Grand Rapids Griffins roster. That believe me, Ken Holland, Ryan Martin, everybody involved with the Red Wings will be in Cleveland tomorrow night to look at some of their young players. A lot of decisions. Of course, Joakim Andersson announcing today he's going back to Sweden. What are you going to do with Jimmy Howard? That's another question as well. They talk a lot about Nyquist. Nyquist is a guy that hasn't scored. Helm's a guy that's an unrestricted free agent. Very, very interesting offseason for the Detroit Red Wings. All right, everybody, thanks a lot for tuning in, as always. Appreciate it. Thanks to the great hospitality, Tom Klein, and everybody here at Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter. My name's Mike Miller. Another edition of Face Off, the hockey show here in year 16, is in the books. Good night, everybody.